Well, maybe we could start our meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tom Berger, and I am the chairman of the Alaska Native Review Commission. And my job is to go to the villages in each region of Alaska and to see what people think about the way that the land claim settlement that was enacted by Congress back in 1971 has worked out. That is to review the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act of 1971, known as ANCSA, to obtain your views about the way it has worked, where it has worked out well, where it hasn't worked out so well, what you think is good about it, what you think is not so good about it. If you think some things about it are bad, to find that out too, and to see how the situation can be improved, how it can be helped, if that is what you want. Now, I've already been to some villages and in other parts of Alaska, and we've heard opinions from people who come from many parts of Alaska, and they've said that some of the things that concern them about the land claim settlement is that in 1991 the shares in the corporations can be sold, and some people are afraid that if enough shares are sold, then the corporations would no longer be native corporations, but would be held by non-native shareholders. And of course, since the land that was received under the settlement is held by the corporations, then if you lose control of the corporations, you lose control of the land. So a lot of people have been talking about this and worrying about it. Of course, the point has been made by some of those who were involved in putting together the land claims back in 1971, some of those in Congress. They've said, well, the idea was that in 1991 you could sell your shares and you'd get money for the shares, and that's the way the system works. That's the American way. You sell your shares, you get some money, and if you have shares, you should have the right to sell them to anybody, native or non-native. And if that means that you lose control of the corporation and you lose your land, well, at least you got some money for your shares. Now, that's a point of view that very few native people hold, as far as I can tell, but it's a point of view that those who passed the law back in 1971, the senators and congressmen, many of them thought that that was a good idea, and I want to know what you think about that. There are questions then relating to the land, to subsistence. Then there's a question of the participation of the children born since 1971 in this settlement. It was the people, native people in Alaska who were living in 1971 who received shares, who were entitled to be enrolled as shareholders in the corporations. But since 1971, a lot of children have been born, some of them are 12 years old, and all of those children, 12 years old and under, don't have the right to be enrolled as shareholders. And in some of the places we've been in Alaska, Native people have said, well, we think that's wrong. We think that our children should participate in the land claim settlement. We think that our children shouldn't have been left out. And I want to know what you think about that. We've brought with us this equipment so that Mr. Sykes here, Jim Sykes, can take it, everything you say, can take it down on tape, and then it'll be typed up, and there'll be a permanent record of everything that is said here today, and we will send that back to you. We'll send a transcript back to you in a couple of weeks so that you here in the village will have a complete record of what was said. And when you speak, if you wouldn't mind coming up and sitting here by these microphones, that's just so that we can make sure that everything you say is recorded and then can be typed up later on and be a part of the permanent record of the proceedings. Eileen McLean is working with our commission, she is from Barrow, and Eileen is helping to organize these meetings in the villages. And the gentleman sitting next to Eileen is Bill Hess, who's a reporter with the Tundra Times. And he may be taking some pictures. Well, that's his job, to write about what happens here and to take pictures. When I've been to all the villages and heard what people have to say, I'm going to write a report that will be made public and that will be sent to every person who speaks at these meetings. And in it, I will say what I think the Alaska Native people feel about ANCSA, about the issues that are of most concern to them, and about their goals for the future. So that's why I'm here today, to see how you feel about ANCSA, about the land, about subsistence, about your children, and about the future. And I'm pleased to be here. The weather is very, very nice, and we're glad we chose this time of year to come. And so here we are, and I'm looking forward to hearing from as many of you as would like to speak. We held a meeting at Copper Center yesterday, and people down there, some of you were there, people down there had an opportunity to speak. This is for, this meeting here today is for the people living here, and of course any others from any other part of the valley who've been able to come here today to participate. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Which one? Okay. I want to welcome you to Gulkana Village. I live here in Gulkana. I'm Roy Ewan, president of Otten Incorporated. Also, I'm very active in the village shareholder committee, which took the place of the village corporations. We're a merged corporation here in the Copper River Valley, with the exception of Chitna, one village. My comments will be, should be taken as a past participant in AFN affairs. I was a board member, active board member, clear to the end until it was settled. And then I came over to the region for a while and worked with our native corporation. And then I stepped out for a while, for about 10 years, and became active again last couple of years, and I'm now present, as I just stated. Otna Corporation is the smallest region population-wise. We only have 8 villages, but it's been profitable over the years. Compared to other regions, we're doing real well, I think, as the records will show. Looking back on Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, as a leader at the time, and now as a leader again in the regional corporation. I feel the leaders, consider myself a leader at the time too, and also there were leaders within leadership at the time at AFN, did a tremendous job under the pressure they were under, a time frame. Once a bill is introduced in Congress to the committees, the process, you can't stop. It's either you're gonna incorporate this section of the bill or eliminate it. And we're just under pressure to compromise and agree with the committee members, or else we'll just lose out on a section of the bill. I think we did the best job we could under the circumstances. A lot of small things were overlooked, I feel. Small now, because the main point at the time was to stop encroachment of non-natives on our lands and try to be compensated for lands we have lost through the years since Russians sold the land to the United States. We, in this valley here, have given up some choice lands, in my opinion, choice locations, because they got title, even though we were there first and used the area, it wasn't our land anymore. As you can see up on the north slope, the oil is coming out of the lands that Native tradition lived on, and we wanted compensation. And in my opinion, looking back now, the compensation was not enough. We wanted 2% overriding royalty, which would have meant millions of dollars today if we got that. We tried as hard as we could, and we didn't succeed. I think you've heard this several times, so I'm going to mention things that you've heard over and over. But I just want to sort of give these people here in my community an idea of what I already talked about too. As I said, the Native Land Claims Bill was influenced by other interested groups like environmentalists, which we, the state of Alaska, had a large interest in the land claims. These people we had no control over. They put in the bill things that maybe we didn't want in the bill, but that's politics. You can't override the majority. We were just a few people at the time. And there were other parties, that miners, that had a lot of influence in different sections of the land claims bill. And I think the overriding reason for the settlement at that particular time was the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. This was mentioned several times also. I believe that if the oil companies weren't pressuring Congress to settle with the natives the aboriginal rights of native lands issue at the time, I don't think maybe we would have had a smaller settlement, maybe, because bills that were introduced in the Senate and House committees that I looked at the time were for much less land, much less money, and a different sort of structure to implement the claims. I think we were at the right time to settle these claims. There were reasons to. We had church backing, we had several other organizations just at the right time felt that justice should be done to natives in settling with them on the lands issue. I just want to point out some of these things that I wrote down here. From the AFN and a regional corporation standpoint, mention should be made of these, you know, contributing elements from our, and I'm going to just read these. I think the strong leadership of AFN has to be complimented. These are dedicated people. I saw people away from home for months at a time. I just wish I could now compensate those people for sacrificing the time and money that they contributed. I think in any claims or any action such as this, where you have to deal with a similar issue, there's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be time donated. Maybe not as much as we had to do at the time, but with this was done. I think that money made available from groups such as Yakima Indians came on time, Tayonic people. These people had some money available, and they made it available to the native group, the AFN. And also the churches and other organizations donated. I mean, I can't list them all, but I think that we should remember these people had a lot to do with helping us. And another thing that was a big factor on our side was some prominent attorneys made themselves available. I remember Justice Goldberg and Ramsey Clark. I mean, some of these other people, there's other prominent lawyers here in the state that were not making us sign an agreement right now to pay them so much. They were just went ahead and did it and then hope that they'll get paid someday. And I think this sort of an effort has to be mounted. And if you go to anything like this, go to legislation. And I think another contributing factor at the time from our side was OEO programs just hit the state of Alaska. Monies became available to form community action programs throughout the state. And through these groups that were formed in the community action programs, we had monies to bring rural native people together to discuss even land claims. And of course, that was the largest concern of natives in rural area at that time, is the cloud over the land that surrounding the village. Even though they were living in poverty, and some of them are still today, their biggest concern was the land around them. And then as I mentioned, the pipeline had to be built, and that had a lot to do with Congress, a pressure on Congress to settle with the natives. I also remember that the news media had a lot to do with influencing various people. I felt Thunder Times had a lot to do with informing native people and assisting influence. And I don't know exactly how you want to put this, but I think they had a lot to do with influence people to be on Native's side, informing them, I think. Was it? Like I say, without a lot of these contributing factors, I don't know what we would have got out of the land claims. It could have been a lot smaller. I feel now that I'm satisfied. Everyone I know wishes that they could have gotten more, and I feel more money should have been put into that bill, because I don't think it was adequate compensation money-wise to effectively implement the tremendous monster that they want us to implement. We're still today organizing here in a small region, trying to make an effective corporation, native corporation, make a profit, and at the same time deal with the everyday concerns of our population. I mentioned already yesterday, I think there are very positive benefits already seen here in the valley. We already have our own construction company, which we never would have had, I don't think, without the land claims. And a training process for in operating equipment, truck driving. These things are made available for young children, and the educational fund is available to Native students who want to go into higher education. These are all positive contribution from the land claims, or effective land claims. I think just running a corporation is quite an experience for an education for a Native people that they wouldn't have had without this land claims. It just, our subsidiaries, even our subsidiaries are a corporation, and just running these corporations, we would not have had this without the land claims. And today, I think our biggest concern, and right from the beginning, has been getting information to the villages. I, in understandable form, it's just really hard to run a corporation with the amount of money and still try to make a profit, and still try to get informed by people out in the village, trying to meet with them, and say, once a week on the fast-developing events. There's attending hearings like this, or going to meeting. I think half of the people are just wondering what is the corporation up to. But this year we're going to try to make an effort in this area to really inform our people about the issues that you raised here, 1991 issues. I think that not enough is known about it for average people out here in the village to decide what they're going to do with their stocks in 1991. We're going to mount an effort to educate them of the alternatives available to them, such as the land bank that is in the Anelka later bill that came out after ANCSA, that provides a land bank in there. These people haven't had time to discuss at the village level these various things, and that afterborns I don't think has been discussed here. I know from my experience here, we haven't discussed this in the village level. To make a statement and say we were going to do this about 1991 right now is premature, I think. I think we have an overwhelming opinion of preserving our land for Native people. From going around talking to older people, the younger people are hard to pinpoint as far as what they want to do. I think they're halfway want to save the land, but for what? Probably some of them are thinking, I don't know. Save it for what? We want to get on with the development and maybe sell our land. I don't know what they think yet. I think this information it's got to come back to the, you know, have village meetings, and a decision has to be arrived at. This has not been done yet, I don't think. And we're going to make an effort in the next few years to do this. And also, I think several other meetings, sovereignty question was raised. This here again, not enough information. I don't know what. I don't know if everybody knows what sovereignty means. I do believe in their heart they feel for sovereignty. They feel like they should have some sort of sovereignty over lands that they have, but they don't express it. And I want to thank you for holding hearings out here, and I hope these hearings will be helpful to the commission and maybe to some of the people that read the review these statements or whatever. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Iwan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this close enough? I'm Lillian Boston from Chasachina Village. To begin with, I would like to express my deepest appreciation for the efforts of our leaders during the negotiations of the Land Claim Settlement Act. I feel that they did the best that they could, looking at the political pressures at the time. They suffered under a great deal of stress and pressure because of the oil companies wanting the pipeline. I feel that they were very concerned about our land and our rights. I have some concerns pertaining to the Claim Settlement Act. I will list them and then come back and speak on each issue. Number one concern is the continued use and occupancy of traditional lands. The second is resolution of past social ills suffered by Alaskan Natives. Third, full participation in future events by Alaskan Natives. The fourth, achieve self-sufficiency. The fifth, long-lasting cultural integrity. Six, not lose our freedom to hunt, trap, and fish on the land. Seven, the land should be forever owned and protected for the people. Eight, control of trespass on our lands. Nine, the children born after the signing of the Settlement Act. And 11, the selling of stocks after 1991. 11, the taxation of lands after 1991, and lastly, regulation of fish and game laws on our lands. Our people are very concerned about personal use and occupancy of traditional lands, because more and more we're discovering people not having respect for our trapping areas, our hunting areas, our fishing areas. It seems that every day, every year, we're losing our freedom in fishing, hunting, and trapping. We find the state is regulating laws that our people we've existed without the state laws for thousands of years. We have extended families. Many live in the city, many live in the lower 48. And the amount of fish and game that they are letting us have is not enough. We're concerned about the taxation of lands after 1991. We don't feel that since we were here first that we should be taxed. We feel that the land should belong to the people forever and protected for the people. The control of trespass on our lands is hard to enforce because of such a large area. The children born after the signing of the Claim Settlement Act are at the mercies of those of us that might include them in our wills. And if that doesn't happen, it seems that they are children without a family, without anybody to belong to. The selling of stocks to anyone after 1991, we're concerned that our company may be owned by people other than ourselves. The regulation of fish and game laws, it seems that every year we go in to testify and we're told that we're getting the best deal. I don't feel that that is so. On the part where I said resolution of past social ills suffered by Alaskan natives, I'm talking about how popular, in talking with my father, when they were building the road system, he worked as a dishwasher. Many people were, and it was Indians that built this road that people travel on today. They were either dishwashers, brush cutters, they were never in good, high-paying positions. My own father worked for the state for almost 20 years. And before he retired, I used to go down the road. And it used to hurt me to see him digging ditches, working on fire pots in cold weather, when younger people that had been hired after him would be sitting in the truck. That is the kind of thing that I mean when I speak about resolution of past social ills suffered by Alaskan natives. We want full participation in future events regarding our future. We want it to be what we say we want when it's pertaining to state laws concerning ourselves. We would like to see more economic development so that we can achieve self-sufficiency. We would like to see long-lasting cultural integrity, that our language not be forgotten, our customs not be forgotten, whereby we can be comfortable both in our own world and in the other society. I close with once again thanking all of the leaders that were in Washington at the time, one of them being Roy Ewan. His daughter was telling me that she lost 3 years of her father's time, and I want the commission and Roy to know that we do appreciate all the time that was spent by everyone that went to Washington to testify on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Boston.
My name is Lonnie Maxim, and I'm from here in this village, Golcana. And I'm not too familiar with the Native Land Claim Settlement Act. And there's some good aspects and some bad aspects as far as I can see. And I think that it has done a lot of contributions, like Roy was saying, that I agree along with that. And there's some bad aspects. I don't have anything written down formally to really address any the way I feel right now is what I'm going by. But I think the Native Land Claim hasn't been, it's been, we haven't been compensated enough for all the pressures that, you know, I know the politicians went through a lot of pressure, but the Native people and the younger people and the older people go under pressure and stress too. And I could see the a lot of good aspects of it is the pipeline and all the job situations that we get and opportunities, which a lot of people fail. And the one thing I was wanted to stress was about the older people, which maybe would not be living by 1991, and therefore I was I had in my mind that the older people wouldn't be able to see all this that is going on, and I think they should be able to at least see some of this before anything could happen. And the good parts is mostly what I wanted to bring out, and there's more that I had on my mind, but at this time here, I just, like I said, I'm just new to this year, and I'll probably do a little more studying up on it. And I'd like to, you know, I thank you for coming here and listening. And I always thought that a lot of older people didn't listen to younger people, but now I feel that, you know, I could be able to say what I'm saying right now. And like I said, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My name is Ben Neely from Golcana. I just want to speak a few words. I'm not educated, but I like to say something about the past. The land claims, when it came here back in 75, 74, I didn't work for pipelines, but I know that people were work, from young people to old people, been work for a couple of years or several, 3 or 4 weeks at the time. People get a few paycheck, and some and gone, all this. And then after everything, pipeline stopped, been over, nobody been looked to it. They're left behind with no work. That's one thing I know. I like that. At least we got land. I like that. We got something to lean on, the land we got. Wasn't for that, I don't think we have anything too much after pipeline work is over, that I see. I got two sons and four daughters, and right now I just got one boy working part times now. Rest of them needs to work. What lack is that today is many of our young people had not enough educations. They have to be way up to be get a job nowadays. Those who never finished high school, never finished the school, that got left behind today, don't know what to do. You have to be really up education to get some kind of job nowadays. That's what I see today. We need education. And I like to say something about the past. When I was raised, when I was a kid, I didn't see this. That's life. Nobody looked for the job. Nobody looked for the man. People live off the country. My parents live out of the country. They do their own work. They're trapping, they're hunting, they make their money, think about their futures. What they were my people was days. But what I'm worried about today is what I hear is 1991, the land claim will be over. You're on your own risk. And what those young people are going to do when everything is over? That's what I'm thinking about today. Our young people get to work in pipelines, get job, and after all, some of them learn lots of things out of work. A lot of bad things they learn. Now they got left and they got fired, they got bad names and everything else people know about. Now many of them today do nothing, laughing. Nobody think about, nobody worry about that. I like to see our young people today to meet, think about some future. What's going to happen that the land claims over? We need to prepare for that. That's what I think about today. I'm worried about that. That's what I... All I know is we got land. But I don't know what's going to happen to this land that we own today, that next few years. That's what I had in my mind. I never go to land meetings. I never go any board meetings myself. But I'm a pastor. I work in the church. That's all I know myself. So I'm not known too much about any particular word meetings, what's orders. So So that is what I had in my mind. We need to get back in our own feet and not looking to somebody else, not waiting for something to help. Years ago, we didn't have this life. We didn't depend on nobody. People come around, tell us to do this, you buy this. Buy this, buy your license, do this, before you shoot, before you cut wood.